God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Hey, thank you for the notes. I mentioned that I'm down in Mexico and down here for stem cell treatment, and that it's going to have to be sedated for this particular treatment. It went well, praise God. The healthcare I receive here is incredible, and the people are really solid. I am a little sore because I had this robotic arm inject stem cells from umbilical cords, nothing to do with abortion, could never do that, obviously, in between my vertebrae into the discs. Fascinating process. So thank you for your prayers. We are in a massive, massive war between not just, not quote, just the spiritual, and everything is spiritual. You know, this idea that there's anything secular, the further I get into abiding with Christ, the funnier I find that. Well, my job is secular. Really, is the building you live in secular too? Because the concrete, steel, and the wood and everything in it was created by God. So were you and your breath and the talents you used to carry out your job. So there's actually nothing secular, but it's a fun game to play to pretend there is. So it's not, quote, just the spiritual, but it is quite literally a war between the common sense of decent people who disagree on some things and an almost organized refusal to have any form of common sense among the elites. And there's a great, great article from years ago called The Panic of the Elites, and it was about an earthquake in Alaska, and that the bosses in Alaska and the city in Alaska thought for certain all the people were going to begin looting and rioting and robbing one another and killing one another, and so they passed these draconian laws, and none of that came to pass. People gathered around one another. They came around one another. They helped one another. So the worst fears of the elites was not real. And we're in a time where, you know, we do the feature at the end of the show called The Tower of Babbling. And the whole world of the elites has become Babel. It is a phenomena. And what I praise God for is making it so clear that it's Babel, but also it is bringing so many people to God. And clearly that's the plan. I don't want to say that's the plan, but clearly it's God's plan to bring people to himself. That's what he asks us to do, that, to make disciples. The president of El Salvador, President Bukele, was in the White House. And he took a question from a member of the Mockingbird media, and he handled it in champion form with actual common sense. Listen to this.
Can President Bukele weigh in on this? Do you plan to return him?
Well, I'm supposed to have suggested that I smuggle a terrorist into the United States, right? How can I return him to the United States? Like, I smuggle him into the United States, or what do I do? Of course, I'm not going to do it. It's like, I mean, the question is preposterous. How can I smuggle a terrorist into the United States? I don't have the power to return him to the United States.
But you can release him inside El Salvador.
Yeah, but I'm not releasing. I mean, we're not very fond of releasing terrorists into our country. I mean, we just turned the murder capital of the world into the safest country of the Western Hemisphere, and you want us to go back into the releasing criminals so we can go back to being the murder capital of the world? No, that's not going to happen.
Well, they'd love to have a criminal, you know, released into our country.
I mean, there's a fascination.
They would love it.
They're sick.
These are sick people.
This President Trump will speak that way, and I have a lot of challenges with his personality from time to time. Pardon me, with his personality from time to time. But we're talking about common sense, and the elites can't have any. And so much of this is driven, of course, by their panic around President Trump, and their it's not dislike. It is so far beyond that. It is visceral, and it is a response to something that Trump does so well, which is very simple. We're going to kick terrorists out of the country. People came here illegally. We're not going to allow them to stay when they came illegally. These are laws. Laws are enforced or they're not laws. And to have the president of El Salvador say the same thing in his fashion. Both these guys are populist. Both of them were elected because the people of both countries, El Salvador and the United States, understand that the elites here can't do anything. Because to do anything to harm the system harms everything that they worship, which is in effect themselves. Have you thought about this? That when elites worship a system, they run. It's a form of self-worship. Well, you can't change these things because you're changing us. You're changing what makes our hearts beat. So maybe this is, in fact, nothing more than an extension of the spiritual war. But there is a war between the elites and real people. This is a Harvard-Harris poll. This isn't a right-wing poll. It's not Fox News. It's Harvard-Harris. The Trump policies are overwhelmingly positive in people's minds. Deporting immigrants who are here illegally and have committed crimes, 74% overall in favor, 26% against. 63% of Democrats favor this. 63%. And 85% of Republicans, closing the border with added security and policies that discourage illegal crossings. 70% favor, 30% against. 52% of Democrats favor this. Undertaking a full-scale effort to eliminate fraud and waste in government expenditures. 54% of Democrats, 85% of the GOP, 69% overall. I mean, you have to get down to something like declaring there's only two genders, male and female, in all government forms and programs. 59% in favor, 41% against. 38% of Democrats are in favor of that. 58% of independents, 81% of Republicans. So you can give the Democrats credit. They've convinced people of the lie of transgenderism. So they've done that. But on immigration and on common sense, things like that, there is no disagreement, not even among Democrats. And so Democrats who are in power have to speak against this, and they have to use people like Sarah McBride. And they're using people like Sarah McBride because there are people like me who can't take anything that Sarah McBride says seriously. Because Sarah McBride is mentally ill, deeply mentally ill. Sarah McBride believes he is a woman. And worse than that, Sarah McBride believes you will be forced to believe he's a woman. So they've picked him as a spokesperson for women in Congress, a man. And here's what he says about what Republicans are doing with immigration. Now, I want you to think about this. They imported illegal immigrants into the country, were giving them Social Security numbers at record levels, and were using them to shift the Electoral College. Having gotten Social Security cards, they could get driver's licenses. It was all about registering illegal immigrants to vote, all about changing the Electoral College. But listen to what this man, pretending to be a woman, Sarah McBride, says.
Don't let people tell you we have to choose between securing our borders and upholding the rule of law. Don't let anyone tell you the way we keep people safe is by dismantling due process.
Okay, so let's pause. Don't let anyone tell you that we have to choose between the rule of law and securing our borders. Okay, we have a border because of laws. And if a border is not enforced, it's not a border. So in fact, you do have to choose between enforcing the border or not. In other words, enforcing the border is law and order. And then Sarah McBride, who's a man pretending to be a woman, goes on to say, do not think that you have to choose between due process and keeping our country safe. No one says you do. The discussion is whether illegal immigrants who've entered our country and then committed crimes have a right to due process.
The Trump administration's tactic right now is to overwhelm us with information with the sole purpose of distracting, demeaning, and dividing us.
I'll try to let this man finish. But distracting us and distorting things as they have a man pretending to be a woman and we expect to take this person seriously. That's what we're expected to do. Okay, I'll stop. I'll let this man pretending to be a woman finish.
The administration is invoking a 227-year-old law to speed up mass deportations, stripping people of due process. This law, known as the Alien Enemies Act, was created in 1798 with the purpose of expanding the president's power to deport non-citizens from the United States during times of war.
Okay, so according to this man pretending to be a woman, because laws are old, we don't enforce them. The Constitution is older than this law. The Bill of Rights are older than this law. But according to this man pretending to be a woman, if a law is old, we don't enforce it. And the war in our country was very, very real. There was a war against the Electoral College. So what he's saying here, this man pretending to be a woman, is that it is Republicans who are using immigration to gain power. How? Well, they're kicking out illegal immigrants who are going to have vote. That's not to gain power. That's to right-size the electorate. That's to have elections that are not fraud-filled. And if Democrats have trouble winning elections without fraud, then that says something about them, which we all, well, not all of us, but many of us know already to be the case. See, I believe God is causing these people to babble. And we wrap up the show with the Tower of Babbling. I believe he's causing the elites to babble, so more and more people will say, wait a minute, so they're not gods. They aren't the smartest among us. They're not special. They're not. They're nothing more than people who've been allowed a platform. Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC had his 2 minutes, or actually 1 minute, 10 seconds of panic. And he says that President Trump is coming for you and your kids. If you don't vote the right way, that he's going to come and steal your kids and you and put you in deportation camps.
It is only now clear to me that this case does not just increase the risk of being seized and deported just for people who are in this country without documentation, or for people who are in this country on student visas or visas of any kind, including a green card. I knew that. I did not know that the argument made by Donald Trump in this case is a threat to every single person in the United States, every citizen, every non-citizen.
So Larry O'Donnell on MSNBC is making the case that President Trump intends to start rounding up U.S. citizens and deporting them.
Every single one of us. What Donald Trump's former criminal defense lawyer is saying to the Supreme Court, in effect, is that Donald Trump can now have any person seized at any time.
No one is saying that. And Larry O'Donnell used this as an excuse to say President Trump intends to deport everybody he dislikes.
They don't play games. I'd like to go a step further.
He's talking about El Salvador and the prisons there.
I said it to Pam. I don't know what the laws are. We always have to obey the laws. But we also have homegrown criminals that push people into subways, that hit elderly ladies on the back of the head with a baseball bat when they're not looking, that are absolute monsters. I'd like to include them in the group of people to get them out of the country. But you'll have to be looking at the laws on that, Steve. Okay.
So this is, and I laugh only because sometimes President Trump plays a role. And I'm sorry, I know that there are people who are absolutely all in with President Trump. I love most of his policies. That's President Trump playing a role. And the role is the unrepentant tough guy role. And yet God is using him. You have elites who are saying, bring the criminal illegals back, the MS-13 back, bring back our MS-13. You have elites who have decided a man is a spokesperson for women in Congress as a pretend woman. And that pretend woman pretends that having elections not affected by massive levels of fraud is seizing power. God's peeling back some layers. I think what he's showing us is, hey, congratulations, you didn't just make human kings in form of government, but in form of a culture that rewards babbling at that level. We'll come back with news about the faith office in the White House, and it's not good news. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. We'll be right back. Just because people get curious, if I sound a little bit different, I'm doing the show from Mexico. I'm down here for medical treatment, stem cells from umbilical cords only, in this case, in my lower lumbar region. And praise God for what he has allowed smart people to be able to do with his inventions and to steward in this way. So I may sound a little weird. I had this procedure today and was sedated for a little bit, but this... there's too much to talk about to take time away. And secondly, I hate being away from you, frankly. It's one of the joys of my life. We're going to build up into talking about, once again, the faith office under President Trump and Paula White in the faith office. And so I'm going to leave it to you to see if you can figure out why we're getting there this way. Because it's going to sound a bit of a diversion, but to me, it's not a diversion at all. And there's almost a theme to today. This whole show has kind of turned into, I think, God's building or creating in people who are elites the tendency to babble. And we do the tire babbling at the end of the show. It's always been a relation to that. But we were just talking about the fact that the elites are babbling, saying, send us our MS-13 gang members back. And the elites are babbling that President Trump's going to deport everyday ordinary Americans. And he's going to come knocking on doors and take your kids and put them in camps. And it's babbling. We could go to the economics. Janet Yellen, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, who's been wrong about every single significant financial happening in the United States, grievously wrong, and who is, in my judgment, hopelessly corrupt, which is probably why she's wrong, has come out and said that it's a pipe dream to bring American manufacturing back to America, and it's debatable as to even if it's a good thing. Really? Manufacturing our food is debatable, our own food. That's debatable because that's manufacturing. Manufacturing our own computers so they don't have the possibility or easy possibility of having Chinese Communist Party spyware on them, that's a pipe dream. And it's debatable. As to whether good jobs for Americans is something that we should seek is debatable. So we could do that. But we're starting at the level of babbling. We'll work up into something that the woman who runs the faith office for President Trump did. Now, and we're getting there. Okay, this is my friend Billboard Chris. Chris is a dad who years and years ago decided to devote his life to defending kids against gender mutilation surgeries. And Chris had been an investment guy and an investment broker and just poured his life into this. He's a dad of daughters. So Chris is doing what he does, and he comes across a protester. And the protester is absolutely sure about his knowledge of what's going on in the field of gender abuse of kids in hospitals. So listen to this guy who incidentally, of course, is wearing a mask on his face, which is obviously doing nothing to protect anybody's health. But listen to this exchange and what this guy is so certain of and how he changes what he's certain of.
They're not doing surgeries on
all
kids
the studies we have in it.
You yes, can't. Yes, no, they're
are.
Not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. There is no
what's
doctor.
Your basis for saying that?
The law, there's no doctor in the United States who will give you who will do an irreversible surgery under the age of 18. That's just not true.
Chloe Cole is across the street. She had her breast cut off at 15. Do you want to come talk to her?
Mastectomy is, that's happening.
You want to come talk to her?
Was it for cancer? Or was
no,
it for
gender?
That's not true.
Come talk to her.
No.
I've got video from Kaiser Permanente in Oakland, California, where the doctor is admitting that the youngest patient they've cut the breasts off of is 12 years old. It's on video, my friend.
I'm willing to bet you right now that that's an edited video where the doctor was talking about how the person had cancer, like breast cancer, and had to cut it off.
All right, so this is a video by Boston Children's Hospital.
For top surgery, you are requested, but not required, to have been on gender-affirming hormones for at least a year. Many surgical centers require you to be 18 for top surgeries. We'll see people as young as age 15 if they've been affirmed in their gender for a long period of time. And don't really.
So that he played that in this man's ear. Billboard Chris held the phone up, played it in the man's ear, right next to his woke mask-draped face. Now watch the change here. This is a guy who said this is definitely not happening.
So what are your thoughts about that? That's fine to me? Well, you said it's not happening.
So did you see that? That's fine to me. It's definitely not happening. And then now that he can no longer say it's not happening, now he says it's a good thing.
So it is though, right? Okay, so we're going to acknowledge that?
Yeah, I was incorrect about that for sure.
What else do you think you might be incorrect about?
Well, I'm sure plenty of things.
You were very confident about that 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, and like any reasonable person, I can say
what I was wrong. So now do you believe that they cut off the breast of a 12-year-old at Kaiser Permanente? Or do I need to show you that video too?
Were they affirming to their chosen gender for a long time? The way they said they have to be in that video?
Well, they don't have to be. They request it.
That's it, as long as they have been.
No, in fact, you can get these letters of approval for surgery over the phone. There was a Pride Festival in Madison, Wisconsin a few weeks ago. Someone set up a tent with a sandwich board saying trans or non-binary, free letters of recommendation for surgery. You could just walk up to the tent, get your letter for surgery that you need. Do you think that's the level of safeguarding we need for a lot of these kids who are struggling with other mental health comorbidities?
If they want to transition, then yeah.
So it's not happening, absolutely not. It's happening and it's a good thing and there should be no limits on it. So we're talking about babbling. Now this is in, and I'm now recognizing where Chris is. He's in Brentwood, California, hence the woke masks. So how am I going to work this up into Paula White and the faith office if President Trump runs a faith office? Anyone know yet? This is a Tesla protest, and these people are attempting to explain what they're protesting.
Throwing a Molotov cocktail at a Tesla, burning the battery, hurts the environment.
I don't think that has done that much damage to the environment compared to what the Trump administration is doing to the environment. That is minuscule.
What do you think is the worst thing Elon Musk and his Doge team has done so far?
We don't really know what they've done in there, so I think that that's very dangerous that they're, you know, using their their technological, all the technical stuff that they're doing, computerized with computers and with the agencies.
So she is there admitting she has no idea what Doge has done. But it's very, very bad. And President Trump's doing very, very bad things to the environment. Like what? Well, she probably has the same answer. Don't know. This is a gentleman at another rally. I don't know that he's a paid protester, but many of them are. And he has a sign that says, "End the cacostracacy," cacostracacy, and he gets an opportunity to speak his mind.
And what brings you out here today?
What doesn't?
What doesn't?
Can you explain a little bit for our viewers what this means?
Go ahead.
He is now picking up a piece of paper. He is unfolding it.
Cacostocracy.
And he is now going to read it.
Government by the least suitable or competent citizens of a state. Seems to fit, doesn't it?
This is a man walking around Washington, D.C. on the Capitol Mall carrying a sign that says words on it that he doesn't understand. Do you see how the show has taken on this theme that I believe God is revealing around us all the people who have taken their human wisdom to the fullest possible extent of human wisdom? We had a fake woman lecturing us about using fakery for political power. Tim McBride, who calls himself Sarah McBride. We had a fake newscaster on MSNBC explaining to us, Laurie O'Donnell, that President Trump is preparing to use El Salvadoran prisons to imprison just anyone in America, anyone he doesn't like. We have the Mockingbird media saying to the president of El Salvador, why don't you send the MS-13 members back to the United States? Are you going to do that? And he said, no, absolutely not. And they said, well, let them go in your country. No. So as in the days of the Tower of Babel, where the Lord saw fit to scramble the language of mankind, since they were convinced that they could be like him, and they refused his orders to disperse, I fully believe our God, the only God, is scrambling the language of the elites, frustrating them, because God does this. He frustrates the desires of the powerful. Or in this case, he uses the simple things to shame the wise. So how does this all lead up into Paula White? I don't know how much contact she has with President Trump. She runs the faith office. I am deeply concerned that she is anywhere near President Trump's, I think, continuing development as a Christian. I praise God that we're no longer going to have Resurrection Day as so-called Trans Day of Remembrance. I praise God that President Trump is putting some focus on Holy Week. I'm deeply worried about where the focus comes from. This is from 2023, the Peace Summit. My friends at Protestia surfaced this. This is the White House faith leader, and she's speaking about someone. And you'll pick up here in a second who it is. But listen closely as she praises a woman. But listen very, very closely, because she's going to call her mother something. And then you'll see who she's praising.
I want to take just a moment before I share my heart with you and really honor Mother Moon, especially as her 80th birthday is.
Want me to start it again to make sure you heard it the right way? Again, this is the woman running President Trump's faith office, a woman who a few weeks ago announced she had cut a special deal with God as one of the top distributors of indulgences. She cut a special deal with God that if you sent $1,000 to her ministry by date certain, you would get 7 times the blessing. She promised that. Yes, she is, in fact, honoring the woman who runs the Moonies cult.
I want to take just a moment before I share my heart with you and really honor Mother Moon, especially as her 80th birthday is here and we get to celebrate it being with her this time, and congratulate her on launching the Chunwon, I hope I say it right, Yong, that's the Holy Temple, of course, which welcomes all faiths, all nations and peoples in the presence of God.
Okay, so let's stop. Our jealous God, the God of Abraham, God, the only one, how does he feel about all faith temples? What do we know about this? How many times did the Lord warn about false teachers, about teaching people seeking to have their itching ears scratched by rejecting faithful doctrine and turning to teachers who would scratch their itching ears? How much did Jesus deplore the gates of Hades? Well, he stated out front, my church will not fall to the gates of Hades. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I mean, he called that out. And there were sacrifices to Baal undertaken at the actual gates of Hades, which was the actual place. The woman who runs President Trump's faith office is now honoring a woman who runs the Moonies cult after her husband died. And she is honoring her for building an all-faith temple. And she continues to honor her.
Unite for family and for peace. She is such a unique individual that carries such a tremendous calling of God in this earth. I was blessed to tour the Great Sanctuary in December of 2021 and saw that Mother Moon is answering God's call for her life to build a world of peace.
No, that is not. Number one, she does not serve Jesus. Therefore, she's not answering God's call. She's maybe answering someone's call, but it's not God's. We are not called to build a world of peace here. We are called to build the kingdom of the Lord. The new heaven and the new earth Jesus will deliver. We're called to build the spiritual kingdom, to welcome people into that kingdom. Can you see why I'm so deeply concerned about this woman who babbles so often in and around the Christian faith, having anything to do with our president's faith development? I'll let her finish this end of this clip here.
I want to honor and encourage you, Mother Moon. I'd say this over and over. She is a woman of great courage for her work as a spiritual leader who loves the Lord and seeks to bring comfort to God's heart in all conflict areas of the world. Mother Moon, your faith and your courage is very moving and inspiring to so many of us. We know that faith, or the peace, can only fully be achieved by faith. All of us here have worked in some realm of the political, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. You and your late husband, Reverend Moon, have led a life of unwavering faith and never vacillated in your commitment to achieving peace through Jesus' fundamental teachings to love your enemies.
Through Jesus's fundamental teachings to love your enemies, but Jesus also had another fundamental teaching. You're either with him or against him. Building all faith temples means you're against him. And just a note on this from the people at Protestia.com. During the 2023 Universal Peace Federation's Peace Summit, White repeatedly praises Mother Moon, otherwise known as Dr. Hak Ja Ha Moon, the widow of Reverend Dr. Sun Myung Moon, co-founder of the Universal Peace Federation and the World Unification Church. She's a billionaire and regarded by many as the Messiah, a true parent to all mankind, whose goal is to unite all faiths in world peace and harmony. I can think of another entity who promised world peace, who promises to bring around great miracles by uniting all faiths in one. But I also know the Lord Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through me. That's not ecumenical. It's not all faiths. It's certainly not all faith temples. Sometimes God takes over the show. And today he's taken over the show in a way I didn't expect, that everything we've talked about is a form of babbling. And I think it's a form of babbling that God is using to draw as many people as possible to the conclusion that the women and men who run the world are running it into the ground. Well, God, never changing, always the same, stands ready with the free gift of redemption. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. And a personal note, but today, the Tower of Babbling almost seems redundant. There are times when God takes the show over, and often it is deeply, deeply scriptural. And today it's been on one topic and one topic alone, and it has been the realization that so many of the people in our elite classes have been revealed to be babblers. And I truly believe that God is showing now the wisdom of mankind, that this is where wisdom of man gets you. It gets you to a point where men are women. It gets you to a point where debt is freedom. That's Orwell. It gets you to a point where a former reporter with the Washington Post, not reporter, but writer, Taylor Lorenz. You're about to hear Taylor Lorenz, who fancies herself a progressive leftist, although I think she's changing that title now. She's morphing with the times. You're going to hear her talking to a comedian on CNN. And this comedian gets to do a show on CNN. His name is Donny O'Sullivan. And Donny O'Sullivan is a guy who doesn't particularly seem to like America. He said about America, while America's roots are soaked in bloodshed, violence in the country today is mostly from right-wing extremism. It is? How can you take that point of view? He's talking here about Oklahoma City, which is not today. And incidentally, Timothy McVeigh was a many, many things. Politically astute was not one of them. Secondly, if you've ever read the book, The Third Terrorist, I encourage you to read that. I think that book proves the case that McVeigh acted with the help of Islamic extremists. He mentioned January 6th as a day of bloodshed. Well, yeah, Ashley Babbitt was killed. No police officers were, but Donny O'Sullivan fails to mention, of course, the leftist attacks on Tesla facilities, on Tesla owners, the political murders in the streets committed by leftists, the burning down of American cities, because he can't. Because like his others in the elite class, he is locked into babbling. But I wanted you to hear Taylor Lorenz. She's talking here about a man who walked up behind another human being and murdered him in the streets of New York. And listen as she explains what's happened since she started to celebrate this Luigi Mangione, who's accused of killing the CEO of UnitedHealthcare. Listen very closely when she talks about why she's excited about this.
Hilarious to see these millionaire media pundits on TV clutching their pearls about someone standing a murderer when this is the United States of America, as if we don't lionize criminals, as if we don't have, you know, we don't stand murderers of all sorts. And we get—
I'm unfamiliar with this phenomenon, are you? Where America lionizes criminals? I don't live in that America, do you? I've seen the lionization of George Floyd, a man whose tragic death he participated in by virtue of overdosing on fentanyl, a man who was lionized. But was that America that did that? That was the deep left who did that. The hard left has lionized people like Che Guevara, but America lionizes murderers? Now listen here as Taylor Lorenz talks about her decision to defend the alleged killer of the CEO of UnitedHealthcare, Luigi Mangione.
Give them Netflix shows. There's a huge disconnect between the narratives and the angles that sort of mainstream media pushes and what the American public feels. And you see that in moments like this. And I can tell you, I saw the biggest audience growth that I've ever seen.
Got that part? She saw the biggest audience growth that she's ever seen when she decided to fetishize an alleged murderer. That's part and parcel of the story. Incidentally, she mentioned the Mockingbird media, the mainstream media. She's speaking on CNN.
Because people were like, oh, somebody, some journalist is actually speaking to the anger that we feel.
The women who got her outside court mm-hmm. in New York.
So you're gonna see women especially that feel like, oh my God, right? Like here's this man who's revolutionary, who's famous, who's handsome, who's young, who's smart. He's a person that seems this morally good man, which is hard to find.
A morally good man. Who has done what? What exactly did he achieve by killing the CEO of UnitedHealthcare? Nothing. I mean, there's a bill named after him in California, but what has he actually achieved? Nothing. He has achieved putting himself in prison. What revolution has he caused? See, this is one of the challenges when you start to deal with people who've become babblers, is trying to get through their smokescreen of, I was going to say, lies, but it's actually the smokescreen of the liar. Which spiritual entity, I would ask, is the one who celebrates murder? It's not God. Taylor Lorenz doesn't know it, but she's serving somebody, because we always do. Now, again, it seems redundant since we spent the show on this, but on this show, we do thank the Lord for placing...
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel.
You get it.
A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
It is not a criminal violation to enter the country illegally. It's not a criminal. It's a crime. It's not a crime.
Please don't blame Randy for that. That was my fault. I'm still a little bit soupy from having been sedated earlier in the day, so I hit that a little bit early. My apologies. And now we have music playing. This is also my fault, although it's pretty music. There are three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. There's almost always three, and I almost never have random music come up during it unless I've been sedated earlier in the day. This is one of the now babbling statements of Lizzie Warren. They've tried every new thing under the sun with President Trump. He's going to start nuclear wars. He's going to put people in prison camps. He's going to use Doge to make money. It's all a scam for him. There's no fraud. There's no abuse. There is no illegal immigration. Oh, if there is, it's a good thing. But now Liz Warren decides to play the hits.
You're also focused on Social Security, what's going on there. I mean, they've like turned down the phone lines and now saying people should go online and those websites are crashing.
You know what really gets me about this? Social Security is not charity. It's not something we give away out of the goodness of our hearts. It's something people earned. They got out there and worked every single day, and every paycheck that they got had a piece taken out to put into Social Security so that when the time came that they needed to draw on Social Security, that was an ironclad contract that they would have. Now, if Donald Trump and Elon Musk want to cut Social Security, they got to come to Congress, and they're going to lose.
They're not wanting to cut Social Security. There is not an instance of them wanting to cut Social Security, and Lizzie Warren knows this. So is it babbling or lying on purpose? What they want to do is to make sure that people who are 159 years old aren't getting Social Security, and people who are not yet born are not getting unemployment insurance, which actually is happening. People who aren't yet born have received unemployment insurance, about $30 million worth. Next soundbite in today's Tower of Babbling. This is Democrat Representative Johanna Hayes, and she voted for the Laken Riley Act, which provides extra penalties for illegal immigrants who commit murder in our country, including the death penalty. And suddenly now she regrets it. Gosh, I wonder what's changed. She is also on CNN.
As I've thought about it over the last couple months, I probably would have voted differently. It's a vote that I regret, but coming into this Congress, I trusted that this administration, we would have some, if they wanted to have border security, they wanted to work with Democrats, that we could actually move forward. I'm not really sure of that.
They don't want border security? We have the most secure border in the past 30 years, is what we have. She didn't know that President Trump was serious about the border? What changed is she's being hit by the left. There are people who are now hitting her from the left. That's what's changed. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. I'm not calling this woman powerful. The Tower Babbling is about powerful people on tall towers of shaking sand. She's simply a victim of powerful people.
The reason why I don't use the term good morning, did you know back in the slavery days, after the masters had beaten us, taken our children, raped us, hung us, burned us, and then left us in a dark shed overnight, they would literally open up the door and they would greet us by saying, did you have a good morning?
Yes, there were cruel, unbelievably evil people who did that. And good morning is not a racist phrase. It can be used by racists. So can the word racism. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling. On a personal note today, I am a little bit sedated. And it's wearing off. But I am a little bit slow on the radio show today. And there is something about being in a hospital setting where you're about to go under that always makes me weepy. And this was all of a half an hour. It was minorly invasive. It's simply some needles going into my back. There's no cutting. There's no destruction of muscle tissue. I'm a little bit sore. I'm going to be a little bit sore. And the purpose of it was simply to cure a problem in my back that's been building up over years of lifting weights. It's not because I lift weights, by the way. It would be there anyway. It's probably better because I lift weights. It's probably not as degenerated. But there's always something weepy. And you know what it is? Putting myself completely in the hands of other human beings. In this case, human beings who speak very little of my language, and I speak very little of theirs. And yes, I had some friends with me. The people who run Renew Healthcare were there throughout the process. They're that way. Even the managing director was there right up until the last minute. That's the way they practice down here. But these are people I know through business and have just become friends with. But as I was getting ready to go in and be put to sleep for this half an hour, something really cool happened. Hector, who I've got to know a little bit, works at Renew, had showed up at the hospital, and Steve was there and James was there. And as I was being wheeled into the operating room, Steve said to me, the anesthesiologist is Hector's father. I said, this is your dad. Hector said, yeah, he's my dad. Suddenly I felt better. I told him, I feel perfectly relaxed. And I asked, do I say Papa in Espanol? Es Papa? Sí, es Papa. So when I was once wheeled in and I saw the face of the man who was getting ready to administer the anesthesia, not stuff I had to breathe, I breathed on my own the whole time. I could look up and say, tú es Papa de Hector? Sí. Ah. And I didn't know how to say praise God. So I said, gracias Dios. Thanks God. And he said, sí, sí. Thanks God. He said in English, thanks God. There's something about putting yourself in a position of complete vulnerability with people you don't know. We are, in fact, called to bring people to the body of Christ. But all of us, came from the same source. God created Adam and then Eve from Adam. All of us come from the same source. I think that we can all sense that we're supposed to be part of a family. And I think in circumstances like that, we can feel a calling to be united. Now, I don't know, because I've never asked Hector's dad if he's religious. He's clearly said, thank God, just because I said it, maybe. But I know this about Mexico. The faith is everywhere. I see it in people wearing crosses, and I point this out to them. If someone's waiting on me, say, Jesucristo. Sí, sí, Jesucristo. Sí, mi Dios, my God. And I know that the faith is evident in the way they raise their kids. I've talked to many, many parents now in these 3 days I've been here. Where do you send your children for school? Oh, see, a church school. So from the United States to Mexico, to a place where I put myself in a completely vulnerable position with a man I barely know, made better because I know this man and how he was raised, because I can see how he's raising his kids and the way God would want them raised. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God grants us the ability to speak again together. May his peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.